There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have the one, the only Tim Beckley, who claims to have published over 200 books. And we mentioned that some of those books maybe you don't agree with. And a lot of those books are by people that we know on the show, such as Scott Carellis and Nick Redfern and people like that. Mm-hmm. Of all the books that you've published, Tim Beckley, looking back over a long history of publishing, which does go back around 50 years or so, because it you started indeed. That yeah. as yeah. a teenager, what book or books are you most proud of?
Oh, boy. Well, of course, I have my own two books on the Men in Black, which is the UFO silencers, and the other one is the Men in Black UFO terrorists amongst us. I did a couple of books by Jenny Randles. One, well, actually, I published...
Tell us about Jenny Randles. She's still around, still active, but a lot of people in this day and age do not remember who she is.
She's one of the top British UFO researchers. She writes a regular column for the 14 Times. She's probably, I would guess, the Nick Redfern of British UFO writers. I would assume that she's done well over 100 books on the subject. But the book that we published of hers that I was most enthused about is called From Out of the Blue. It was the first book published in the United States on the Bentwaters incident, the Rendlesham Forest UFO landing case. It sold reasonably well for a what I would call a nuts and bolts book. And we did manage to sell the paperback rights to Berkeley paperbacks. Now, you know, in the old days, Gene, when you sold the paperback rights, you could be assured of selling 80 to 100,000 copies. By the time that we got into selling like paperback rights, sales had gone down below the 20,000 mark. And today they're probably almost non-existent. I don't even think you could mention maybe a handful of books on the subject that are available in paperback because there's no place to sell them. We had a big chain here in New York. We still do called Walgreens and Duane Reade. It's owned by the same owners. You know, it's a pharmacy. Although now they're selling more food and candy and cookies and all that stuff than they are pharmaceuticals because they're here in the tourist area and people come in staying in the hotels and all here. They want a bite to eat at 2 o'clock in the morning. But they had their entire basement at one time must have had something like 2,000 or 3,000 paperback books. They were rack after rack after rack of paperbacks, and they had a small section on the occult and on UFOs. Most of them were romance novels. There was a big romance craze at one point. There must have been 5 or 6 publishers that were putting out maybe 100 books a month on romances, mainly. Aimed at the young women's market, and they sold very, very well. Now, if you go into the same pharmacies, you might find one little rack of magazines and maybe the top 25 paperback books. So that market is almost totally gone. And, of course, bookstores have closed. We used to publish, Gene, when we put out a new title, anywhere from maybe 2,000 to 3,000 titles, copies of a book. Now, that's not a major publisher. They would do maybe 10, 15, 20,000 copies, but we had a little niche market. I had a mailing list of about 4,000 alternative metaphysical New Age bookstores. That list is down to about maybe 300 or 400 stores now, and most of those stores keep in business by selling what we call sidelines, incense, oils, what else, talismans, crystals, and jewelry. If you go into a bookstore along that line, you might find a couple of hundred titles at most. So there are now more authors than there are readers for books. If you go to Amazon and type in UFOs, I think I came up with a total of 13,000 books. If you type in books about ghosts, there's like 7,000 or 8,000 books. Well, how many people are going to Amazon every day and looking for a book on UFOs, correct? Maybe a couple of hundred or something like that, I would assume. And so how do they pick a book? If you don't know the exact name of a title of a book or of a particular author that you're looking for, well, who knows what's going to come to the surface? You know, it's probably something, you know, some author who's taken a couple of months to rewrite something that Chris and I have already written 10 years ago. It's just a leap of faith today to go out and try to buy a book almost on any subject, especially along this line, and come up with something where you're really going to learn something by. That's why I tell people go to Amazon and type in Innerlight-Global Communications, and you'll see over 200 covers, and you can make a selection there, make up your own mind. Some are serious books. They're books. They're books of all kind, and I think they're of value to some people. But enough about books. And you know what I did want to mention, Gene, is, you know, it's the 51st anniversary of the National UFO Congress coming up this year. And for the first time in many years, there's actually going to be a public meeting held in Cleveland, Ohio, under the auspices of our longtime friend Rick Hilberg.
Tell people about this, because I was involved in the early establishment of this event.
Well, I believe we're still on the national organizing committee. Jim Moseley, I guess, is the legitimate founder of the movement. But basically, it was also the Cleveland crowd. It was Rick Hilberg, Al Manig, and Ron.
The late Dale Rettig.
Dale Rettig, that's correct. And Ron Pelger, I believe, was the fellow's name. And even Ed Beeble, to some degree, and Alan Greenfield. And so most of us have not been together in many, many, many years. The actual last public meeting was held in Los Angeles with Jim Moseley and Lisa. I don't remember what her name was offhand, but she was going to carry the torch of the organization, and she did it for about 3 years, and then it fell apart. And that seemed to be the end of it until this last year when everybody decided, well, we're getting up there in age, and we should continue on with the organization and see how our beliefs and our ideas and our theories and our research into this have changed over the years. So on June 19th to the 22nd, there will be the 51st reunion of the National UFO Conference in Cleveland, and it's honoring the real Gray Barker. I understand that's the theme of the program. Now, I don't know if there are how many actual formal speeches there will be given. I guess it's kind of open, you know, open forum for people that want to get up and chat and discuss all these subjects. But if you just go to Google and you type in National UFO Conference, you'll get all the information. And I don't think there's any charge to get in or anything. There's a nominal fee for, you know, like a cocktail hour, you know, it's not an open bar, it's a public bar, you know, and maybe a little dinner or something together with all the group. And we're hoping to see a lot of people that we haven't seen in many years to show up for this a meeting on that stretches from the 19th to the 22nd. And Gene, we're certainly hoping you will be there.
Well, of course, I don't travel much these days because I don't cast reflections, so they can't get a photo ID of me because I don't exist. But seriousness aside, I'll consider it, okay?
Yes. I'm actually going to take the train, believe it or not.
The train doesn't go over 50 miles an hour on curves.
Yeah. You know, years ago, Gene, I was the editor, talk about editing different magazines. I was the editor of a magazine called Front Page Disasters. And I actually enjoyed doing that. I was kind of sad to see when the magazine folded after 3 or 4 issues, because it was something that I was kind of into, you know. And I would manage to sneak like one article an issue into the magazine that had something to do with the offbeat of the strange. We did an article on the Bermuda Triangle. I did an article on this troop. World War I that walked into a cloud and was never seen again. I think something about like 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers in Australia that walked into a cloud bank. So every issue I would put something, you know, different in the Front Page Disaster to kind of give it a little bit of flavor. And, you know, I did some research on which was the worst form of travel as far as accident, you know, safety and accidents went, and eliminating car accidents, which, of course, are ghastly. They happen, it seems like, every minute or two somewhere in the country. It was the train. The train was the worst than the bus, and it certainly was far more unsafe than than the airplane.
Well, and you know what? At this point, yep. I haven't decided what I'd like to ride on anymore. I'm hoping for the Stargate. We've got Tim Beckley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
This is a nationwide announcement for consumers owing back taxes to the IRS. The slowdown in the U.S. economy has forced renewed action by the Internal Revenue Service. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlement amounts from qualifying consumers who owe back taxes. If you're eligible, your back tax settlement may be discounted by thousands of dollars. A specially assigned national hotline has been directly routed to Defense Tax Group. Consumers may now call and check their eligibility for a significant tax debt reduction. Financial stability is a major priority during this slow economy, so you're advised to dial this national hotline number now. 800-678-4191. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, you may now find significant relief. You could save thousands of dollars if you qualify. Call now and get free vital information and to check your eligibility for a significant tax debt reduction. Call the Defense Tax Group now. 800-678-4191. That's 800-678-4191. 800-678-4191.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Extend your life with ExpandoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now let's focus on some serious stuff here, because before we had you on, Tim Beckley, Chris and I were referring to the fact that people these days might actually be embarrassed to call themselves UFO investigators or ufologists, and I guess you can understand. especially the taint of certain recent events. But, of course, Roswell slides, or as I call it, Slidegate, is nothing new. In the 1990s, we had the Santilli episode, the alien autopsy. We had MJ-12 in the 80s. I know some people think it's genuine. A lot of people don't. So with that, do you feel also that the UFO field has been made toxic?
Oh, boy. See, I've kind of grown up a little bit different than this. I have a lot of other things that I do in life besides chase UFOs. I was in the publishing business. I promoted rock and roll bands for quite a number of years. I've done the horror movies, you know, so I've done a lot of things. And, you know, people always respected me for being a creative person. I don't think over the years more than maybe two or three people ever came up to me and said, "You're a flake or a crackpot or a Looney Tune." I never pushed it on anybody. If they were interested in it, I would tell them about the subject. And you know something? A lot of people were interested in it, especially like musicians and stuff. You know, I'd have conversations with them, and they're pretty intelligent people for the most lot. You know, even celebrities that I would interview for the Inquirer, a lot of them, when the formal conversation was finished or I was finished interviewing them, they would ask me questions, and I'd end up hanging around a half an hour or an hour longer than the interview was supposed to last because they were interested in what I had to say as well as I was interested in what they were telling me. So I've never felt that stigma of being just a UFO researcher. Even the people that I published the magazines for, like UFO Universe, you know, was part of a very big publishing empire. It was Goodman Publishing. That was the original name of it. But they had at one point something like 40 different magazines, and UFO Universe was just one of them. And then we did, if you remember, Gene, a few spinoffs. There was the UFO Files and Unsolved UFO Sightings and all. And they were publishers, you know, and they were hot on UFO Universe because at least it usually broke even. It was an inexpensive magazine to put out. At least it usually broke even.
So and that's why you paid me so little to put it together.
Yeah. Well, today, Gene, today you would get far less because everybody is doing their own typesetting or doing it for very, very cheap. And nobody pays for material. At least, Gene, we paid for stories. We paid $100, $150 for an article, right? Today, nobody pays. I can't think of a magazine. Chris, do you know of a magazine that pays for material outside of maybe 14 times?
You know, that's a good question. I really don't think so. I write for the World Explorers Club magazine, and I don't get paid. Of course, it's kind of a column that I have. But, it's people like Sean Castile and Antonio Huneas, who wrote for many, many magazines and did articles for many magazines, would have a hard time making a living now.
I keep Sean busy. Antonio has kind of disappeared on us.
Yeah.
I did speak to him recently. You know, he was working for Open Mind, the Open Mind people, the magazine, and doing a very good job because he certainly had a huge inventory of material, especially when it comes to foreign researchers. He was, you know, very articulate. He did a lot of good interviews and all, and then he just kind of disappeared from the from the scene.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I guess he was let go from the magazine just because of financial circumstances there before they folded. You know, at one point they were going to pay. I remember when I walked into their office, they were going to pay outlandish sums of money for articles. And, of course, I was very excited about that. But by the time I got around to writing an article, the price that they paid was reasonable, but was far, far less than what they had originally talked about. They were going great guns, but they knew nothing about publishing. I mean, they just didn't have a clue about distribution. The only place you could ever find the magazine was in Barnes & Noble, if you look very carefully for it. No promotion or advertising on it whatsoever outside of their own little clique there. Also, too, the thing that I told them is that you don't have to put out a magazine that is glossy like that in order to sell copies to the UFO base. You have to present them with material that's new, different, and exciting, and not the same old stories, you know, issue after issue. And they don't care about seeing the Billy Meyer photographs again. And so most of these magazines are pumped up with pictures that are 30 years old. You know, I mean, they're printing the same. And I was kind of guilty of that, too, because there really aren't that many good UFO photographs. You know, people would call me on the phone or send me an email, Gene, and they'd say, oh, I've got a great UFO photograph. How much will you pay for it? $25? I mean, look at even the Roswell slides. There wasn't one paper that I know of in the United States that picked up an article on this and published a story on the subject.
Let me tell you something here, very interesting. The Huffington Post apparently published an article, but it was very shortly withdrawn because of factual problems. And you didn't know that until you searched Roswell slides and you found the link to that particular article. So you're right here. Maybe there was coverage, but very little.
There was, as far as I know, it was covered on a news station in Chicago where the originator of the slides, the discoverer of the slides, lives, right? There was not, I even combed the Mexican newspapers. I did not see one single article about the conference down there in the big stadium. It was, you know, outside of the people now that we see on the internet posting their harsh feelings about this, it almost seems to have been a non-event. Outside of a few thousand people who staked their lives on UFOs and are fascinated by the subject, I mentioned it to my friends. They don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, it's not that small because the attendance was reported to be between 6,500 and 7,000 people in Mexico City. And maybe thousands, tens of thousands, and maybe a lot more paid for this on-demand or pay-per-view streaming session.
I don't believe
so
it.
Obviously,
don't believe
people
it was,
did see it.
You know, I do not believe, Gene, that it was anywhere near that amount. I would bet you it was under $2,000 on demand. You know, I searched for where I was going to pay to watch it. I couldn't find it until after the event was over. You couldn't even type it in and find out where it was streaming. It wasn't on like pay-per-view on your TV channel or anything like that. You had to hunt for the place to go and plunk your money down. It was very, very poorly organized, to be honest with you. And maybe there was a reason for that. I don't know. Do you think that these guys really didn't know that that was a mummy? I mean, back on January 26th, I posted on the internet a photograph of a mummy that looked almost identical to the Roswell aliens. And this was still while the case was in its early, you know, where they had announced, I believe, that, you know, the May 5th would be the release date of this. And I had seen, maybe there was the grab shot was up there yet. I don't even remember. And it was easy to track down because, you know, I've traveled around this country. I've been to the Southwest. I've been to Arizona. I've been to New Mexico. And alien mummies are kind of a dime a dozen.
Well, you know what? This is not a dime a dozen when we have Tim Beckley here. A wealth of information.
It's
more
a diamond
to come
in
with
the
Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is a nationwide announcement for consumers owing back taxes to the IRS. The slowdown in the U.S. economy has forced renewed action by the Internal Revenue Service. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlement amounts from qualifying consumers who owe back taxes. If you're eligible, your back tax settlement may be discounted by thousands of dollars. A specially assigned national hotline has been directly routed to Defense Tax Group. Consumers may now call and check their eligibility for a significant tax debt reduction. Financial stability is a major priority during the slow economy, so you're advised to dial this national hotline number now. 800-678-4191. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, you may now find significant relief. You could save thousands of dollars if you qualify. Call now and get free vital information and to check your eligibility for a significant tax debt reduction. Call the Defense Tax Group now. 800-678-4191. That's 800-678-4191. 800-678-4191.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so Tim Beckley is not an alien mummy or an alien daddy, but as he says, these mummies are not uncommon. The thing that bothered me when I look at this slide is it's in a display case with kind of a glass table. And you see someone, I guess a woman wearing a blue skirt and blouse, was looking on it, was behind it at least. And you think here, if this was really an alien body, number one, it would be some kind of medical table. Number two, any personnel visible in the photo would be wearing protective suits. I mean, what about alien viruses? Why didn't anyone ask such sensible questions?
Well, that's the most important question right there. I don't know why anybody could not have seen this, you know. But again, Jaime Musan, and I don't want to say anything critical about anybody in the
in
the field.
In this case, he deserves criticism.
Okay, and this isn't the first time that he pulled something like this. Back about 2 years ago, Bill Shatner's people got in touch with me. Bill was doing a show called William Shatner, Weird or What? They had
Shatner's case, it's what?
It was weird. Okay, anyway, they had this creature, this supposed alien that had been caught in a trap in Mexico. And Jaime Musan was touting this as being a real extraterrestrial that had been trapped and killed by a farmer who later died under mysterious circumstances, he claimed, as if a curse had been put on him. Supposedly, they threw the alien in a vat of acid and it took its skin off, and then somehow it got caught in this trap. Well, they managed to get scientists, apparently, to say that this was a real creature and that it was a possibly an extraterrestrial. Well, they wanted me to come up to Canada and to confirm this. And, you know, I told them basically, I said, I have to draw the line somewhere. I mean, my credibility may be with some people on shaky ground as it is, but I can only go so far. So I said, you know, this is obviously not an extraterrestrial. This is not something that traveled through space, you know, in any kind of flying disc and landed here. It's a being or a creature or something that's about maybe 7 or 8 inches tall, perhaps. Later on, some people said it was a shaven monkey, but I don't know whether that's the case or not. Anyway, I did go to Canada, and my theory was that it was not an extraterrestrial, but it might have been a jinn, which, of course, is the Islamic equivalent of a demon of sorts. And we've talked about this on the air before, and we had some photographs that showed a correlation between this a creature in the trap and what a jinn looks like. So I was willing to go that far, realizing that it was not an extraterrestrial and it possibly wasn't anything real at all. And they did have on different explanations. They had on the scientist who said that this had to be some sort of living being at one point. And they had on somebody else who said it was basically a creature made up of many different animals, you know, that had been composited together and put in the trap. Well, I don't know what it was, but it certainly wasn't an extraterrestrial. And I can't believe how anybody with any academic credentials would go on the air like they did and say this was legitimate. But if you remember, Gene, even back with the alien autopsy video, which certainly was a hell of a lot better than the Roswell aliens here, They managed to get scientists and they managed to get people with academic credentials and people in the entertainment business who came out and said, well, this could not possibly be a hoax. It would be too expensive to come up with a, you know, an alien of this type and to record an autopsy. Well, that's nonsense because I've been in the entertainment and the film business for a long time. I remember there was a guy many years ago, Gene, his name was Jack, I can't remember what his last name was, but he made money by buying the rights to movies that were made in South America and bringing them over here and dubbing them into English and releasing them. Most of them were women in prison films. Now, I don't know
You mean like Orange is the New Black?
Well, this was a long time ago, and these films were shown on mainly on Times Square and in secondary theaters and in drive-ins. Yes, it has always been a very popular genre, believe it or not. And he would buy these films that were made in South America and bring him over here and edit them and add gruesome parts to it, like knife scenes and all that. Well, if you remember years ago, there was a controversy over snuff films, Gene, and whether they were legitimate or not. Well, this guy bought a film in South America where women were being chased through the jungle, you know, by maniacs and so forth. And he tacked on a 5-minute scene at the end where somebody was being snuffed out and they released it as being a legitimate film. Some people said, oh, it was impossible for anybody to have created this. It had to be, you know, authentic. A look at the women, the woman, they're gutting her on the table. Well, it was a magician's trick, Gene. They had her head sticking through, you know, a hole in the bed that she was, you know, supposedly on. And they had a fake dummy that they cut up and all. And it was gruesome, you know, fake blood. But it cost the guy, I talked to the guy, it cost him like $3,000 to do. So anybody who doesn't know anything about movies doesn't realize that really some of this stuff is very economical and cheap to do. I knew guys when this alien autopsy film came out who had better looking aliens. They were 17-year-old would-be filmmakers and they had better looking aliens in their basement. And it cost them nothing to do because they were creative.
Well, nowadays, of course, if you want to become a filmmaker, you can actually do it on your iPhone. You can do it on your iPad. And they do. They do use these things for commercial films or TV shows. You could do it with a not expensive digital camera. Get some desktop editing software. Apple charges $300 for Final Cut Pro 10. And despite some problems with the original release, it is used in the TV and film industry. It's not expensive to get involved. And anyone with a reasonable amount of artistic skills can produce some incredible stuff. So, you know, I don't know. We're kind of moving aside from some of the critical issues here. But how does the UFO field, and we'll have a few questions from listeners mm-hmm. soon, but how does the UFO field, Tim Beckley, get any credibility at all when they keep falling into this trap year after year?
Well, you know, I often wonder, Gene, who exactly are they trying to get credibility from? First of all, the disclosure people are out to get congressional hearings. That is not very likely to happen.
Well, we had it happen in the 1960s, and that went nowhere. It gave us the Condon Committee.
Yes, indeed. But also, too, you know, what does the government actually know about UFOs? Of course, that is a mystery to most people. I would say that, if anything, maybe there are only a handful of people in the military who have known anything legitimate about this subject over the years. Everybody else is open to the same basic information that it was available to you and I. I mean, if I were the president of the United States and people would pressure me about this continuously, you know what I would tell them? Go to your bookstore, go to Amazon.com, find a couple of books, read them, and make up your own mind. Because it's like telling people what to believe as far as religion goes. How are you going to get, the president isn't going to go on a TV, you know, on the 6 o'clock news and tell you about what religion you should follow. And he's not likely to go on TV and tell you, you know, what UFOs to believe in and what UFOs not to believe in, because probably it's a mystery to most people. And if a politician is not interested in the subject, he's not going to go out and investigate it. You know, it's got to be something that happened to him personally, or somebody maybe that's a part of his what's the word that I'm looking for? You know, it's like these guys from Wendlesham Forest now. They got in touch with their congressmen and their senators because they could not get their medical records, right?
We're talking specifically about John Burroughs here.
John Burroughs, correct. Okay. Now, I know John Burroughs. In fact, you know, years ago when John got out of the military, he moved to Phoenix.
Right. And we'll get into that in a moment, because John was actually over here at the studio for one of the tapings. We got more to come. Yeah. And we've got Tim Beckley to tell us now more of these histories of possible government knowledge and or involvement with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Are you suffering from EP? The symptoms include fraudulent charges to your credit card. Your subway card says it's empty, but you bought it yesterday. Someone's been in your hotel room, but the desk clerk says they only show you entering the room. These are signs of EP, electronic pickpocketing. Payment cards, transit cards, even hotel room keys use a radio chip, so you can just wave your card at the register, the turnstile, or your hotel room door. But what's convenient for you is also convenient for thieves, waving scanners to electronically pickpocket you without even touching you. The good news is there's a cure. ID Stronghold has created leather wallets and clutches that have built-in EP protection. Layers of shielding material cleverly concealed in a beautiful leather wallet that stops the symptoms of EP. Go to IDStronghold.com now and get the cure. IDStronghold.com. Warning, ID Stronghold wallets could lead to feelings of safety and security, comfort in crowds, and euphoria. If you experience these emotions, immediately inform your friends and family about IDStronghold.com so they can feel better too.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. All over America, people are suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, clogged arteries, and high cholesterol. Can you live your life free from sickness, pain, and fear, and experience your body healing itself? Look to Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural supplement that aids ailing bodies. It has an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. End the pain without all the side effects of prescription drugs. People 20 years younger will envy your vitality. Want a happier, healthier you? Then go to heartandbody.com or call toll-free 866-295-5305 for free information. Heart and Body Extract offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. What are you waiting for? Call Heart and Body now at 866-295-5305 for your free information. Go to heartandbody.com, 866-295-5305. Distributor inquiries welcome. The human body is extraordinary, despite all the stress we inflict upon it. Thousands of people across the country use an extremely effective product to help their body stay balanced. It's Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural herbal formula designed to help maintain healthy blood pressure, clean arteries, promote good circulation, and balance cholesterol. Heart and Body Extract, along with good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free from pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of Heart and Body Extract. Learn more and read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers at heartandbody.com. Heart and Body Extracts offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. For free info, call 866-295-5305 now. That's 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com. Distributor inquiries welcome. 866-295-5305.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
When Tim Beckley gets started, he doesn't stop. Let me tell you, before we go on, we have another radio show called After the Paracast. It's available exclusively to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. To get on the list to download each week's version, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We also give you higher quality audio version of the Paracast, and we knock out those network ads. 41 minutes of those network ads gone. So those of you who wanted an ad-free version of the show, that's how you get it. It's a modest subscription fee, plus.theparacast.com. We're talking to Tim Beckley, and you mentioned here that you got in touch with John Burroughs years ago when he moved to the Phoenix area.
Yeah, you know, we were holding regular conferences there in Phoenix for quite a number of years, and John Burroughs had just gotten out of the service and had moved to the Phoenix area, and Larry Warren was living there. So somehow I managed to get John Burroughs on the phone, and I said, why don't you come down? Because there was still at that time a little bit of bad blood between the two of them and a little bit of disagreement as to whether Larry was actually there on one of those nights, which, of course, he was. But that's another story. So I invited John down to the conference, and the two of them actually had a public debate. And this would have been years and years and years before Redlands Forest really was getting the attention that I think that it deserved. I knew Larry was telling the truth because he was the original whistleblower on this. And back in 1980, I think it was 86, there was a town meeting that was held in the high school in Brewster, New York. Dr. Hynek was there. Jacques Vallée was there. A lot of credible researchers were there. It was organized by Peter Gersten, the lawyer at the time, because of all the sightings that had taken place in Westchester County. And the public wanted to know what it was, this triangle, this boomerang-shaped craft that was being seen by thousands of people, what it was and what was the explanation for it. So they had a town hall meeting that about 500 people actually showed up. And Larry Warren was on the stairs of the high school, or maybe it was the middle school, Brewster High School, talking to people for the first time about what had happened to him in 1980. So this was years before any of the books were written, before Lieutenant Holt got out there and his tape was being played and so forth. If it wasn't for Larry, I doubt if any of this would even have come out in, you know, into the public domain.
Speaking of Rendlesham, we do have some questions, and this one's from SRI, and he's wondering if anyone has would like to. He says, "I'd like to hear Tim's impression of Peter Robbins, of course, who is co-author of Left at the Eastgate, and perhaps recap a few of the experiences that both Tim and Gene encountered back in ufology's good old days, which we've kind of done that. But what is your impression of Peter and Larry, and I guess your impression of Peter's work with that?"
Oh, I think it's a tremendous body of evidence. I mean, he and Larry spent, I think, 9 years working on their book, as opposed to, you know, a year or so that Nick Pope and Pettingston and Burroughs worked on theirs. It's got everything in there. I mean, it's got pretty much all of the evidence and the stories, you know, the experiences have not changed. Of course, you know, I know Larry Warren pretty well. I mean, I've hung out with him, you know, socially. But there's another side of Larry that I guess a lot of people don't know. He was involved in the entertainment business. Of course, he is a musician in his own right. He knew a lot of the jazz musicians and Stevie Ray Vaughan and so forth. He's played with a couple of bands. So he does have a certain magnetism and charisma to him. And I think of anyone, he's best suited to get the story out about Rendlesham Forest, you know. But now there are so many different stories and so many different directions that this is coming to us from, that it seems to have gotten kind of like Roswell a little bit more convoluted. But it is the only recent case that I can think of that seems to be at some point where maybe we could find out a little bit something more about it. There must be some more government records on this that have not been released. And of course, the medical the information on these fellows' medical background and what happened to them because of those two or three nights there in the forest.
Do you think that the finally Burroughs getting access to his medical records is a sort of tacit acknowledgement of the legitimacy of the case by the government, as some people are claiming?
Yeah, I would obviously think so. And why would they go to the extent that they have to keep the records not only from him, but from other agencies, you know, including medical doctors and people from the Veterans Administration who have tried to get a hold of the records? That doesn't seem forthright in any regard, does it? I mean, okay. Well, I would think that, you know, there's some gross neglect there on the part of some government agencies to give him and the public the information that should be readily available to his doctors and people at the Veterans Administration. I mean, there's just something wrong with this. Why would they hide the information? Even if they sanitized it, they should make it available to them.
Yeah, you would think. Well, remember the lawsuits back in the mid-90s by workers at Area 51 and was thrown out of court because the base didn't exist. So how could they sue the government for health damage that they experienced at a base that doesn't exist? Now that the CIA has acknowledged the existence of the base, I would think that those people would be doing another class action suit against the government now that there's been official acknowledgement of the base's existence.
Well, are any of them still alive? You know, that might be
that's a good question.
Be one of the problems.
I don't know.
Yeah, that might be one of the problems right there. You know, the dead can't sue, I suppose. I would say if there's anything to come from UFO hearings or involvement in any of the government or senators or congressmen, this is where it would come from, because here they don't have to point at lights in the sky. It's a medical issue. It's something that a veteran is deserving of this information. See, so this makes them the good guy instead of looking like some weird person who sees UFOs in the sky or something. This puts them in the whole subject perhaps in a more positive spin. So if anything is ever going to come from this, I would say that this might be the area in which we should push, instead of touting forth all these witnesses, some of whom are very good. But, you know, the thing with disclosure is you've got some good witnesses and you've got some there that certainly don't deserve to be, put in the public domain, especially like, you know, during the middle of those non-congressional hearings. But they were interesting, right? They bring out this guy who's supposedly, you know, breathing very difficult, and he's a few days before he's going to die, and he talks about, you know, all this military stuff. Well, that seemed pretty hokey to me. I mean, if there was anything hokey, that certainly was, and I don't think that necessarily belonged as part of the of that meeting. You know, it kind of it kind of steered it off into a very negative light. You know, it's something that had not been vetted, something that had not been proved, and we don't know whether that guy's dead or alive, or was just an actor that was bought in. You know, right. I mean, how much background check do they do on some of these people? I wonder.
Yeah. Well, Paul Hillier's closing statement was the one that really drove me up the wall.
And what was his closing statement?
Well, he was reading from Jim Sparks' very questionable account of his alleged abduction, which it just, I don't know. I have a hard time with the story to begin with. But to read the quote the aliens and what they had to say to him as a way to end this week-long exercise, to me, was it's like taking a samurai sword to a balloon and just popping it, boom, just all the gravitas.
I don't suppose, though, Chris, that you can censor anybody on giving their opinions about UFOs, especially if you call them forth, because just like on the Paracast here, you had how many different guest, Gene, have you had on here? A couple of hundred, maybe more than that by now, right? Everybody's got their own opinion. If you were to parade them in front of a congressional hearing, they would just pretty much tell what they've told on the air, and a lot of people would shake their head in disagreement, and some people would shake their head in agreement. You know, you never get a totality of agreement on any of this, and I don't think that you ever will, because UFOs are something different to me than they might be to the next person or to you guys. So, you know, I mean, UFOs are unidentified, and that's what they are. And you can't, you can't readily identify them. So you can put, you know, I remember going into a newsstand one time and asking the owner if he carried UFO Universe magazine. And he looked at me. I don't even think he knew what a UFO was. But he said, why would I carry that magazine? What could you possibly have to say?
I have something to say now, and we have to do this break. With Gene and Chris, with Tim Beckley, you're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley. With U.S. Tax Shield, we can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.